White Walker-perpetuated offenses are considered especially heinous. In Westeros, four dedicated friends investigate and discuss these vicious episodes as members of an elite squad known as A Podcast Has No Name.
Oh my gosh. I want to welcome you guys to another episode of A Podcast Has No Name. We are live. In Rose City Comics.
Woo! Yes, here in the scenic Mississippi, old Mississippi shopping district of North Portland.
That's right. I think it's pronounced Ole.
Ole?
Old Mississippi? Yeah. All right. Comics for the people. Ole Mississippi.
Ole Mississippi.
Yeah.
The Ole Mississippi.
Old Mississippi.
He snarled. He snarled a bit there. Appropriate. Mm-hmm. Ole Mississippi.
Yeah, man. This is my home comic shop.
I love it.
It's a stone's throw from the house. It's a nice little 5-minute walk. I love it.
Noted.
Yeah.
he says with great menace in his voice.
Yeah. And I've been coming here since moved here in 2016. I absolutely love it. Love it, love it, love it. So shout out to them for hosting us. It's been great. Okay. So returning to the pod, Megan, what's good?
All the things.
Yeah.
Everything. I'm glad to be back.
Yeah.
What did we talk about last time? I don't even remember.
Conjuring.
The Conjuring. Yeah. Okay. Topical. Yeah. Obviously, I have a type.
This is what I'm saying.
Okay. Yeah.
This is what I'm saying.
Yeah. That's good.
And friend of another show, a first time to the pod, but, you know, local publisher, celebrity.
Celeb.
You guys should have seen it earlier. You know, just people. Jack Rudo, how are you, sir?
Oh, I am doing good. I'm here in Rose City, which is actually one of the first or the first shop that ever carried my zine, Stapled Spine, here in Portland. Actually, back when it was called the Sinister Press, when I thought I was doing, for three issues, it was a horror monster movie pro wrestling zine.
What?
Yeah.
Do you have any copies of that around?
I do, and you don't.
Wow!
That was back when it was Bridge City Comics. Mike Ring took a chance on it, and yeah, and Donna's been fantastic since it switched over to Rose City, and we've been here. And my home shop, my LCS, is technically Comics Cave, Doug's shop up in Kenton. But all the comic shops here in Portland are fantastic
at
covering and carrying. Independent publishing rags like myself.
100%. Yeah. And my local is Cosmic Monkey.
Oh, I'm so glad.
I know.
It's not my local comic shop. I would be destitute.
It's terrible.
There's case study. I can get coffee and comics. I'm like.
Yeah. And they have appropriately priced action figures. So that's the issue for me.
Yeah.
Thanks, what are you doing?
Cost conscious.
Yeah, I'm getting an Apocalypse for $25. There's no way that should be happening.
Yeah.
We're at 45.
That might as well be free.
Right. It might as well be free. If we're at 45,
at
I'd leave it
at that price,
where it
is. How can I not buy it?
He's basically putting it in your pocket.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
For an exchange of money.
I can't remember how I came across Stapled Spine. I cannot remember. Seeing it in here. Maybe someone here at the time told me about, you know, this being a local publisher, and I feel like I was engaging with the book before we started engaging on the air.
Well, I know what happened was that when I'm also a DJ on X-Ray FM.
X-Ray,
radio is yours.
Hey, we are in the middle of our fun drive.
It's DJ Jack Rudo. You're listening to Stapled Sounds on. You're the Stapled Hounds of the stupid DJ voice. X-Ray FM. What else? 91.1. Yeah.
Okay. So anyways, he has this radio shit now, bro.
So what I do is because I was in there and I knew there were creatives that were hanging out there and they're in the neighborhood. At the Falcon Arts building where our studios are at, I would bring in, if I had a new issue, I'd bring it in there and just take a Sharpie or a highlighter and write really big on it, X-Ray across the front. Like it was, you know, like you rip off the cover and that's an industry issue.
Right.
So I'd leave them there. And then we did start talking and you're like, oh, snap, I see this at my local LCS. And I was like, oh, yeah, no, Donna carries them there. So. And I stopped bringing them in because I realized people stopped buying them here because they can get them for free at X-Ray. So I took
them. That's sucky.
I'm kidding. I'm joking.
I was like, what's happening?
I'm happy at how upset you got about it. Yeah. That was fantastic.
Pay for crap. I don't play those games. You buy shit. Yeah.
Do you feel like you see other zines around? Like, are there other folks?
Portland is fantastic. I actually lucked out earlier this month. Or was it it was a couple weeks ago, and I was invited to go and table at the Reed College had a zine fest.
Oh, nice. Sick.
And that is so outside of my regular group of mouth-breathing, monster-pound morons. Yeah. It was fantastic because... yes, exactly. To get edumacated on a staple of a stack of paper cuts that is my zine. Mm. Tons of youth, and it is with the horror scene in Portland, and tons of youth. It's not just all, uptight honkies. There's people of all persuasions. It's very, the horror community in Portland is very gender fluid, minority focused. It's fantastic. Yeah. I love it so much, but I've been doing it so much that now, you know, I'm 47, 48. I feel like grandpa at some of these and I love it. I'm like, go on. Yeah. Anytime a kid would come up and have like a weird tiny little one page zine, yes. like, do you do trades? The answer to that question, anyone that wants to know about zines, the answer is always yes.
Nice.
No matter how much energy and how like decked out your team of people that do your zine with you, if a kid comes up to you and they have a little zine they made and they want to trade, the answer is always yes. That and I awesome. Enthusiastically trade with them all the time. And there's something about that. It's exact because I started in 94, my senior year of high school.
Okay.
Yeah. And I legit refused to learn how to do it better, air quotes. I will take 5 pieces of paper, turn them sideways, fold them in half, and glue stuff on it until there's no more room, and that means the zine's done.
Bam.
It's called collage.
And also, shout out to class of 94.
For real? Yeah. Yo, 94 out the door. Remember the t-shirts we had on?
Come on now. I know I look much younger, but, you know.
Whoa. Yeah.
I'm not 94. I'm 99. It's okay.
So, yes, Portland has a very vibrant, I think hashtag Portland zine is a decent hashtag that's on there. It's a lot of per zine. I mean, it's like personal zines, journal type stuff. I got a great zine someone traded me. It was the characters of the Riverdale television and the perfumes they wear. They just took the time to,
so specific.
Right? Well, you know, it's all hypothetical, and they're saying they're positing because of this, that, and this. Reggie wears this, Jughead wears that.
Got you.
Very in depth. Nice. But the scene in Portland has been, at least I moved here in 2000 from Las Vegas, and I was doing a terrible rockabilly Mexican lucha libre zine down there. That one was called Polar Bear Vixen because at the time in the 90s, everything was sugar popping, greasy, fireball, and that.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. So I picked 3 different words that meant nothing to anybody. I made that. The thing was Polar Bear Vixen, and like our subscriber group were the Tundra Assassins Guild. I always come up with dumb names for stuff.
No, this is
and so that was tag.
Tundra Assassins Guild. Come on.
Anyways, blah, blah, blah.
I need a logo and t-shirt for that. What are we talking about?
Oh, gosh. So, but the point is, it's a bug for me to like to do the zine. It's something that's always in me. I do get an itch for it. But doing a horror zine year round, it's always like, literally, like the show that I had at X-Ray, it was like, I think November 4th, the first November show I had. Mm. I realized halfway through as I'm playing it, I'm like, oh, I'm playing this like a breakup mixtape. Like Halloween broke up with me. I've been dumped. And the name of that episode, I think, was Dumped by October. And I didn't realize it until I was playing. I was like, this is a sad hour of music. Wow. This is dumb.
Wow.
So I was completely bottomed out. And I was like, oh, I didn't even have it in me. And it was the Frankenstein comic swap that we have at the mall that got me back into it and got me enthused to want to, I got to shake the dust off. And plus I have like about eight people, guys and gals from all over the state that are my contributors that do write, have their own pieces and stuff like that. And then they start to get antsy too, because it's fun to have a zine out and you know, all the stuff going on. So I shook the dust off and did a small one for March. And then as I looked at it, we finally finished today, the next issue, number 23 of Stapled Spine. And it was supposed to be 5 sheets of paper because I can keep costs down and make it easy. And by the time I'm done with everything, it's 10 sheets of paper. It's twice as big. And I'm like, dang it, I can't stop. So, but it's awesome because we have I got in touch with an Italian illustrator, Vincenzo Carretu, who is doing the... all the pencils for the this summer. Marvel's doing a big crossover, a Blade-focused crossover called Blood Hunt.
Yeah. Right.
And he's doing the Dracula book. And so I got an interview with him. And I also scored an interview with Jamie L. Rotante. I think she is the head senior editor of all of Archie Comics, including the full Archie Horror, which is an amazing line and has been for almost 10 years now.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, but that's how the zine works, is that in this modern day and age, if you write to someone cold and say, hey, I do a zine, can I do an email interview with you? They're like, what do you mean, like for a podcast or like a YouTube video? I'm like, no, I'm going to take what you say. We're going to do it emails. I put it in a Google Doc, and I print it out and cut it up, and I glue it to paper. And then I photocopy it at a Kinko's, which is actually a UPS store now. And they're like, are you serious? I'm like, very. And they're like, okay, so they're in. And that's how that goes, is to be that. I mean, that's my other joke, too. I was, my fiance Harper, I tell her, I was like, you know, I'm so excited. Like, 2024 is 2024 again. And here in Horror, Oregon, it's like, man, I'm riding the cusp. It's the new age. I've got an FM radio show and a paper zine. I'm way on the edge, man.
Yes, 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 yes. I love that. Wow. The whole Oregon shirts, I love those. Very, yes.
They're epic. They're so good.
No, I squeed when I saw a picture. Ambush posted one and he's wearing the shirt. And I was like, eee! It had nothing to do with what he was posting about. No. But I was still like, yay.
Appropriate response.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite shirts because, first of all, like you pick the right cotton blend or whatever. It just feels good.
Yeah.
And also, like, I know most of the times I'm in a room with people, no one else has a shirt on.
Right, right.
So, yeah.
Right.
Until I buy one. And then we're matching all the time. I'll be like, what is he wearing?
Is he wearing You just have a box of shirts in the car. You got to run back out.
I would.
So, like, you covered so much.
Sorry, I hate talking.
No, it's... But...
You're doing great.
Ultimately, like... What got you into making zines in the first place?
Yeah, that's a good question.
All of this stuff. I was also a founding clergy member of Portland's wrestling church, where every Sunday we would show. I was a founding member of Portland Organic Wrestling back in 2000. It was all bartenders and band members that would go at the old Satiric on stage, and we'd wrestle on the stage and, like, throw cow tongues and chicken feathers and stuff everywhere, and we'd bring in goats, and it was a wrestling match for people who didn't know how to wrestle, but we're all... people on stage. It's a very vibrant history.
As a Portland native, I remember
this. Holy I was a founding smokes. Member as Rose City Rudo was my character. I was a masked wrestler. I was two characters. The Rose City Rudo, the head of Los Diablos Guapos, the handsome devils. And we all had to wear masks because if we didn't, the women would riot and destroy their men they came with. Facts. And the other character I dressed up as was the opposite. It was the only, it was a character where all you saw was my face, and it was a it was a handmade bright pink, and think of the Christmas Story. It was a full size bright pink rabbit suit that I wore.
Oh wow.
And I wrestled as Jack Rabbit, and my finishing move was the Watership Down. Anyways, back to your question, Ambush.
Are you sure you're not originally from Portland?
I'm so confused.
I know, I grew up in Redding, California, where all there is sun, rocks, and lizards doing push-ups on those rocks because it's so hot.
How sweaty was that fucking bunny suit, though?
Suit was, you're so already covered in beer and sweat and entrails and...
Entrails, you know, don't forget.
It was the 2000s, so in Portland there were no drugs anywhere around, right. So no, it was a okay.
Clean town.
Yeah, it was a sober. So we were all nailed to the X.
It was basically like Monmouth and like Utah. Yeah,
we got Lloyd Kaufman of Troma Productions paid for us to fly down, and we did his. We were there for a weekend for Sundance Film Festival in Park City, Utah.
Nice.
And we were also paid because in costume to do the to dance at the opening for Macaulay Culkin and Seth Green's Party Monster.
Yep. God bless him.
So we did, and a side book while we were there, we wrestled a troupe of drag queens at in Salt Lake City's biggest drag club, and everyone else, their partners were cool. My partner that I wrestled with was not cool because I thought it'd be fun to dress up as Brigham Young and decry the evils of their life choices. And I wrestled that man, and he was sinewy and built and god in a kiddie pool filled with applesauce, and I thought I was going to die.
Wow.
But back to your question, Ambush, is I've always, if there's something that my mind can think, man, I wish there was that, and there isn't, I go, well, I'll do it.
Holy smokes.
I love that.
And that could be tiring to live with someone like that who is either completely bottomed out and has no creativity, or is like, oh my God, I can't go to bed because I just thought the best way to get people to spend money on my show for the fun drive is I'll make up a dumb activity book that's based on my show and the people that are... If it's not already existing, I will find a way to make it and I'll do it. And Portland is a city that if you have an enthusiasm, if you're loud enough and plant your flag deep enough in the ground, people will find you. Your people will find you.
Right.
Wow.
Absolutely. And there's always those people out there. Like, Portland has a super, like, rich history with zines. Because when I was in high school, we would all do zines. And, like, every battle of the bands, whatever, like, we would just, I could take a photo, I could print it, I could photocopy it, right? You would do all this stuff, and it's super DIY. And I feel like it maybe it fell off of my trajectory for a while.
And that's, like, X-Ray Cafe and stuff back then was all super big.
Yeah, but I'm glad that it's back because it's super cool. And I think there's so many kids. We do a lot of – right now is, like, the season for youth comic workshops. And, like, so many kids have brilliant ideas. Yeah. And I'm like, you can print that and ask your mom or dad to copy it at their work copier that probably hasn't been used in 6 years. Use it, and then you have your own, and they're like, really?
Yeah. And there's – I did also another great one that I table at is PSU.
Okay.
Yeah.
Portland State or Portland – University of Portland?
Probably Portland State.
PSU. Downtown, they have a great zine fest.
Yeah.
And last year I did it and I was next to two brothers. They draw a comic book called Turtle Boy. And it's an older, like an 11-year-old brother and his 9-year-old younger brother.
Come on.
One writes, one draws. And they're sitting next to me. And the whole time it was fantastic. And their dad asked me, hey, how do you get it in shops and stuff like that? And I'm like, you go in there with your kids and you take their comics and say, hey, and don't go to a T-Fall. No shade on T-Fall, but... if you're in Portland and you go to T-Fall, that's like buying comics at Target. Don't go there. Go to some place. I'm serious. Go to Rose City. Go to Comic Cave. Go to Excalibur.
Go to Cosmic Monkey.
There's a lot of great places to go. But literally, if you go in there and say, hey, I live here and I make this, will you carry this?
Yeah.
They'll do it.
Right behind me is the local.
It's fantastic. Yeah. And I tell you what, months later, it was the free comic book day later that year. And they invited me to come table at that because I knew it was be a kids' family event. And the kids are next to me with their dad. Yay! They're like, oh, nice. Yeah, we have Turtle Boy carried in this shop and that shop and that shop because we just asked. And they said yes. I was like, that's it. Just all they can say is no, and then you just go somewhere else.
And that's okay.
But they don't say no.
What a good lesson, though, I think, for kids to be like, hey, I have this great idea. Are you interested? Mm-hmm. And maybe they're like, oh, we don't have space. That's okay.
And it's an amazing way to get started on that path to foster the self-created creativity that's coming completely from them.
Right.
And then for them also to feel like they have a space to create and produce a physical media out there. It's a great city for that.
And what kind of heartless bastard would say no to two kids in a fucking zine?
I don't want to know.
Yeah.
Fucking burn your place down. Anyway.
Show up at their house in a homemade Turtle Boy costume and just wrecking house.
Turtle Boy is gone.
I don't know.
All right. So now it's time to talk that horror shit.
Okay.
The what?
That horror shit.
What's a John? That's what I want to know. Am I not supposed to know that because of my honkification?
No.
Yeah,
I'm Italian. I'm told that's pretty close.
Okay.
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 That wasn't a yes. That wasn't a yes for ambush.
It's okay. It's a Philly.
It's adjacent.
It's a Philadelphia word.
Okay.
Just for everything.
You're going to just jaw about it?
Yeah. Pick the John up, one to the other John, and drop the John off.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like it's a noun. It's like it's all the things.
Yeah, the things. Okay. All the things.
Sounds good.
So, what is the last horror film that you've seen?
This was hard. This was probably, I'm guessing, now also difficult for you. I'm assuming. I'm making wild assumptions.
I couldn't believe it. Harper and I were talking. Like, we actually, like, knocked two out of the bag. Like, just, like, we haven't recently, and then we just lucked into some good ones. So, please, what do you have?
Well, so, this is... basically, I went back through because I was trying to think of like, okay, we watch horror all the time, all the time. We're currently again mid season of the X-Files.
Nice.
This is the second full rewatch that Steve and I have done. So like, we're just constantly watching horror. It is all that I watch. If there's a comic, like a comedy in there, that's the out of. That's I'm like I was sick or something that day, but it was hard. But I had to go back, and I think for ones that really stuck out, Talk to Me
Okay.
And then Angry Black Girl and her monster, and those were the two. And then there's like another laundry list, which I loved we'll get
both
to.
Of those.
But I loved both of those. And so, question, one being the best or four being the best?
Four would be the best.
Okay.
Yeah. So star system then.
Okay, mm-hmm. like Star okay, Search.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Yes. 2¾ stars. Yes.
You can do that. You can do the quarters and a half, so all of it.
What
do you got? What's the last one you watched?
Those two movies I haven't seen, and they're definitely on my list because I've heard amazing things about both of them.
Yes,
both
yes.
of them. I find most of the stuff that I didn't know about definitely from horror TikTok. Like we talked about the different talks.
Oh. Horror talks.
Remember we talked? It was on. It was of news with my fiance. It was the thing that came up. One of the rare times I try and railroad their show.
One of the rare. Wow.
It was talking about the different talks, and there's ones that I follow are D&D talk and horror talk. And there's some great people that review some stuff that I literally take screenshots the next morning when, because I look at TikTok like before I go to bed. Gotcha. And the next morning I have to look at my notes, my screenshots, and say, oh, what's this? And it was When Evil Lurks is a movie that was is currently on Shudder, and it's Argentinian. And it came out just 2023, and it is all, I think it's definitely physical, a lot of physical, practical effects.
Okay.
I gauge a lot of the movies on how I feel about them and where they're at in my mind. Watching them with Harper, who also does reviews for the zine, my fiance, was originally Ghoul Fiend Gags, where I make her watch terrible horror movies and she has to sit through them and review them and gives very honest Harper's reviews. Face
just bless sounds you. Like,
yeah.
But now that we're engaged, it's the Ghoul Fiance Gags.
Nice.
And this movie, When Evil Lurks, there's a part right in the middle where it's like, it's kind of like there's an evil entity that is an incorporeal entity that's taking over people, and you can't really guess who's evil in the moment.
Oh, wow.
But there's a scene with a small child and a very large family dog that doesn't go good. Oh. And it went where you hope it doesn't go. And she's like, nope, I'm done. So we stopped. And then when she was away house sitting for our friends while they were out of town, I was like, all right, I'll give it a go. I'll finish the movie. And it was well done, but boy, it is a mean-spirited movie. It does not let up. So that one, because I'm also more of a fun horror lover, I would give that one a solid 3.
Nice.
Definitely worth a watch.
Okay.
Yeah.
Talk to Me, I would definitely give 4.
Yeah. Talk to Me was...
I loved it.
Great.
Same with Angry Black Girl. Yeah.
The other new movie that I watched that I highly recommend to everybody is this year's Lisa Frankenstein.
I just
saw it. I haven't seen it yet.
I just saw it on a list.
It is fantastic. It is... At first, the reviews I got were all from people. I'm like, dang, I never heard that person like talk about a movie. And it literally, and it's got the other lead that is the Frankenstein character is Cole Sprouse from The Sweet Life of Zack and Cody.
He's like
right?
a Disney boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Disney this movie lad. Is so, but it's written by Diablo Cody, who's Jennifer Boddy and all that kind of stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
But it is so perfect. It's an 80s film. And it is completely, it's a perfect mix on purpose and fun-loving without being winky, winky, hokey.
Okay.
It's a perfect mix of Heathers and Edward Scissorhands.
Mm.
It is highly recommended.
Okay.
It's a new annual Halloween watch. It is good.
Oh, wow.
Okay. It is good. Okay. It's on that list. So I give that one a solid 5.
Because I saw it and was like, oh, I'll get around to it.
No, it looks silly, but if you like sit down, it's done by people who get what it's supposed to be and they do it right.
Okay.
Because that popped up on a list and I was like, all right.
Worth it.
Okay.
Okay. Good to know.
So you gave Talk to Me 4.
Yep.
And Angry Black Girl, what'd you give that?
4.
Okay, 4 is a 4.
I loved it.
I'm going to give this a 3. I watched Thanksgiving.
Mm. Oh.
And I watched Thanksgiving thinking I was I was preparing to watch Thanksgiving thinking I was watching another film. There's another film where...
Thanksgiving?
Is it Thanksgiving?
Maybe.
Where
but I think
the family shows up looking like Puritans, and they're coming to a like.
Oh,
like
that sounds like a Purge type of movie. But no, I'm thinking of the like. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, like they thought they were doing like a reenactment.
Oh.
And like the family thought, like, oh yeah, great. These are the people that we asked to come. Actors we asked to come do the reenactment, and then it goes left. And I was like, oh, this okay. I want to watch this, and it's been out for a while.
Yeah.
So then I saw Thanksgiving. Pulled it up. I said, okay, well, yeah, finally get a chance to watch this. Put it on. It was not that. It was not that. And it was, I'm not huge for the slashers.
Sure.
I need some mythos. I need, you know. Mm-hmm. But this was amazing.
Well, you know, mm-hmm. the origin story of what that movie was, right?
Give it to me.
It's been out for a long time, but it was, remember when Tarantino and Rodriguez did Planet Terror?
That's what
and
I was thinking right. of.
Okay. Grindhouse.
Yeah.
Okay.
For those movies, when they did those two movies, Planet Terror and the other one's escaping me now, mm-hmm. Death Proof.
Death Proof, thank you.
There was a group of other famous horror movie directors that just made trailers.
Right, because that's like, where we got Machete, right?
Yeah, Machete okay. was a trailer. Rob Zombie did Werewolf Women of the SS.
Right.
Eli Roth did Thanksgiving, that's and it was just a trailer.
Eli Roth?
Yes, wow. It was just a trailer. But people kept bugging him, make this movie, because they love that trailer.
Right.
So this movie is because of a trailer they made for the Grindhouse films.
That's amazing.
That is what I thought, yeah. but then I thought maybe it wasn't, because no, I wasn't sure if it was Eli. Okay, that was when I saw that. I was like, is this not just that? But
it was good. Okay. It was good. There are some things that happened within the first 15 minutes, and you're like, oh, we're going there. Okay.
All things related to basting.
Yeah, I guess. You okay. Oh, we've established the levels of which, yeah. well, which things are going to
there's
go.
A notorious trampoline scene in the trailer that I imagine was a scene in the movie. It had to be, because they would be criminal if they made the movie
I
without that
scene. I can't
remember
the trampoline scene.
You got to be joking me, man. I haven't seen the movie. I've just seen the trailer just a bunch of times.
Now I got to rewatch it. Because, I mean, here's the thing. It may have happened. But there were so many other things
right.
that hit me harder.
Yeah.
That the trampoline scene, just,
right.
I fell by the wayside.
Well, and did Eli Roth direct this one or write this, or was it someone else?
I'm not sure of his involvement. I didn't really, at least not that I remember.
Right.
But it was based on his
okay.
on his
because Eli Roth is not a feared of right. squelches.
Right.
So,
right,
right, right.
Yeah,
right.
So
right.
No.
All right. So talking about horror films, staying, you know, within okay. the conversation. Okay. What do you need? I talked about it a little bit as far as my personal preference. What do you need for a good horror to, like, pull you in?
What did I write? I answered this. Well, compelling characters. I do. It sort of depends on what mode or, like, mood I'm in.
Okay.
Sometimes I don't care. It could be... I could be up from, like, whatever looks wild. Does it have a wild, like, cover on it? I'll watch trailers. I'm like, does the trailer feel real fucking weird?
Okay.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Is this sketchy? Do I understand? Children are always terrifying. Oh, so I'm like, God. Anything with children, scary.
Always.
But I love, my favorites are always, like, really compelling characters. The characters don't have to be the good person. They could be bad, whatever. But, like,
right.
juicy characters and some sort of, like, it need like a plot. I need like a plot driven because, and I think this happens often. I guess it happens with psychological horror too. I feel like it happens a lot with slasher films, mm-hmm. and this is where this will lead into maybe the next question. But mm-hmm. like slasher films start to lose it for me when it's just like gratuitous and has no
it's
purpose.
Just a body
you
count.
Can, yeah. yeah, you can have all the meaningful like throat slashes in the world if you're like this follows this trajectory. But the minute it's just like. For funsies, I
right.
don't know. I
right.
you lost me.
Yeah, yeah.
Unless the blood spatter is like really spectacular, then maybe I'll be on board. But
right.
It could be gorgeous.
There was one, and I had to look it up today. And I was talking again to Harper. I was like, I had so many movies stuck in my head. I was like, I don't. What was that called? And there was a movie that we watched called The Dark and the Wicked. And this is a movie that I got. It's from 2020, and I did get this one from Horror Talk. And it's the story of a brother and sister, adult brother and sister, going back to their parents' ranch because their father has died and their mother is like having like spells where she's speaking in tongues. And it's very folk horror, rural. It's on a ranch.
I started that.
And it's like a brother and sister coming back, and the sister wants to help, the brother wants to be over with and get it done. But that movie sucked us in because it's normal, 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 and then something yucky happens in the background. That's just out of focus. No. You're like, ah! Like, it just, I like that stuff where it's like, ah!
Yeah.
Like, if you just open your eyes and you're just open to it, and especially if it's mundane stuff that, like, kind of lulls you in.
Mundane yeah. is terrifying,
and then goes,
though.
Bah!
So terrifying.
You know, not a jump scare, but it's just like, as the camera pans, if you right. don't blink, you're like, oh, God, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
It was full of that, and it also, I knew it was a good one because as I look over, and if Harper is clutching one of the pillows from the couch, hiding behind the pillow, and somehow with a third hand that I don't know about flipping me off, then I know it's a great film.
Right.
And that was definitely The Dark and the Wicked is highly recommended, and that's
that's another solid one I have on a watch list. Yeah. I had to pull it up to see the the title
screen. Yeah, that sounds very familiar. I remember starting that. I don't know why I didn't finish it. Maybe I fell asleep. Because I like to put on horror movies when I go to bed. I love it. Morgan is like, what are we doing? what exactly do you expect from me?
That was a fantastic impression of Morgan.
Spot on.
Yeah, like, no, absolutely not. No. We're not doing it. for me, I always want to feel, and I think X-Files did this for me. I think Friday the 13th, the series did this for me. Mm-hmm. I need backstory. I need mythos. Yeah, I need to feel like I'm entering another world.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like, so I want to leave with that character and those ideas. And then I want to watch the reviews and find out that this character is from another book. It's from somewhere else in history. Mm-hmm. Like, I love that shit.
Yeah.
Right. Also, just your traditional, exorcisms and, demons.
Yeah, anything occult, anti the church related, please. Yeah.
Give me the occult.
I do love folk horror. I feel like folk horror has always been around, but I think has been coined folk horror in the last handful of years, and it is that pastoral life.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone has a scythe and you're like, shit. I don't know. Because it is that very, it's quiet.
Right.
And it's it feels very mundane. I don't know if you saw Lamb. It's another one where you're
I didn't watch it.
Harper and I went and saw it in the theater. That was one of those movies where
that baby had a really lovely sweater, please. but it wasn't loud horror, right, which I think is what most of us grew up on. Yeah. Because slashers feel loud. Yeah.
No, there's opposites. I remember seeing in the theater the R. Lee Ermey start, he was in the remake of the Texas Chainsaw. I don't know if that was in the 2000s or not.
Yeah.
I was sweating in that movie because it was all the mechanical screaming noise and stuff.
Yeah.
It was too much, man. I was I get it. You're scary.
Yeah.
Dude, stop. Yeah. It was distracting how loud and mad it was. But Lamb, it was wait, is there more movie? I was in the middle of a movie the whole time.
Well, I know. And then I was what's happening?
And I'm like, but did I like that? I think I like that. I'm pretty sure I like
that. It was nice. Was a calm. I don't know. It had a calmness, but calm is also eerie. Mm-hmm. People don't like it when it's too quiet, right?
I love it. Shout out to Ari Aster. You're talking about that mundane.
Have you seen the trailer for that Sasquatch?
His new family of Sasquatch movie where the Sasquatch eat mushrooms and whatnot?
No.
Oh, it's like the Sasquatch Sam Squanch Squad or whatever it's called.
Sam Squanch?
I can't remember what it's called. I don't know if it looks funny or if it's going to be scary. He was executive producer.
Okay.
But I'm like, it's going to be wild.
Is it Michael Cera's one of the Sasquatch?
Jesse.
Oh, wow.
Just the other one. Jesse Eisenberg.
Yeah.
And it's this heavy duty, amazing,
They had
American Werewolf in London level of practical costume effects.
Oh.
And it's just them out. It's going to be Caveman with Ringo Starr. No one talks, I imagine. I think they're
just grunting. Yeah.
They're devoted to doing 2 hours of that.
They're all Sam's.
And it looks beautiful.
Wow. It's lovely. You watch the trailer. It's wild. But I don't know. I was Ari Aster, super into it.
Yeah.
He does these really
Hereditary is
fucked up family dynamic stories.
That's in my top three. That film is just.
Yeah.
Oh my God. absolutely amazing.
Oh, that face on the desk.
Ooh, it's so much. So much.
Never stick your head out of
the
car.
It's my favorite Mother's Day movies. Other than Mother's Day.
Mother's Day.
Mother's Day. All right, so between the two, slasher or psychological horror, what's the preference?
Me, psychological horror, for sure.
It's strange because in the slasher movies, I love, my favorite slasher movie of all time is Halloween. I love the Halloween franchise. But that's not because, I'm a huge Michael Myers fan, but I'm a huge Dr. Loomis fan. I want Donald Pleasance and everything. So I want the doctor that has to deal with that. It's a weird, but he's the psychological piece of a slasher movie.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So.
Interesting.
I don't know. And that's, for being such a big horror fan, and not to get this sidetracked here, but. I also DM D&D 5e D&D game every 2 weeks, and as I think back to even when I started playing in before I had a driver's license in 92 or whatever, you know, before pulling chicks and driving cars. I've always been like the cleric or the paladin that like is the monster hunter. Like the Frog Brothers really speak to me, man. Okay. So like as much as I love horror movies and monster movies, it's like with the psychological pieces they want to add to a slasher film is kind of like a sweet spot for me.
Sure.
Rob Zombie's Halloween.
Yeah, I do love a slasher. I mean, Silent Night, Deadly Night is our only Christmas tradition, right?
Absolutely.
Shout out to the Hollywood Theater.
Yes.
Yeah. I do love them, but if I had to like pick one over the other, psychological,
for sure. When Rob Zombie redid Halloween, it was like the first one, Crystal Clear, not the second one.
Right. Hold, please.
Really?
Yeah.
That was like, okay, I am all the way in.
Right. Well, it completely fleshed out how a child can grow up so broken and damaged and soiled in a family.
Yes.
Yeah. Like the man had his greasy thumbprints all over it, and like, okay, I get it. Like, I totally understand.
Yeah.
And no amount of Danny Trejo, come on, Mikey, I was good to you. That it's too late. Too late,
it didn't
bro.
Matter
man.
At all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Ken Foray was nice in that too. Though. That's good.
I think at that point, I was already, like, drunk on whatever he was doing. So, like, House of a Thousand Corpses was my introduction.
Yeah.
I forgot, what was the second one? When they went on the run.
Run, Rabbit, Run.
No.
The one that I get pulled into it. Something inside me makes me want to watch The Witches of Salem, or what's the...
That Same. One? I want to watch that, too.
I watch it once a year, and I don't even think about it. I just need to watch Lords of Salem.
Lords of Salem.
Lords of Salem. That movie, and people can boo-boo and hiss-hiss all over Rob Zombie movies. I'm sorry. If you haven't seen Lords of Salem, then you don't know what you're talking about. Because that movie is astounding.
I want to watch
Dee Wallace is really fantastic, and it's like this is amazing coven of, like, ex-70s actress, the famous people. It's an amazing movie.
Yeah.
And every time I watch it, I get something more out of it. The pacing, the visuals, nothing else is like that movie. It is astounding. Lords of Salem is fantastic. And I don't even mean to. I just suddenly like find myself like in a trance scrolling, and there it is. And I'm like, yep, let's put that on again.
Yeah. Right.
Devil's Rejects. That was the film I was
thinking. Devil's Rejects. I was like, which was the one with Captain Spaulding?
Yes.
Like, Devil's Rejects.
Yes, so good. So I'm assuming everyone here does have a Shudder account.
Yes. Of course. Please.
Okay.
I know. That's why I was going through these things yesterday, talking to Steve, and I was like, damn it, Steve, what did we watch? He's like, I don't know. Just look at Shudder. He's like, doesn't it keep track?
Shudder,
I'm like, no, it
Tubi.
Actually doesn't.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Right. So when it comes to like horror comics and graphic novels and things of that nature, my first interaction with the horror comic was here. I can't remember how many years ago.
Come on in.
Definitely come on in. I can't remember how many years ago it was, but the comic was called Infidel.
Mm-hmm.
And the cover really, really caught me. And I was like, okay, woman in a job. Okay, all right, let's check it out. And then I started reading it, and I'm like, oh my God, this is a horror comic. I've never experienced that. This is absolutely fucking amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was just hooked, absolutely hooked at that point. Since then, I've been reading, collecting House of Slaughter, and there was something else. Donna would know what else I've been picking up. Killadelphia. How dare
I? Thank you.
How dare I? How dare I?
Yeah.
So I have a really amazing story. Again, this is why this shop is so amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So again, shopping here for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And Donna's always like, hey, you know, we can just, you know, you get the same books for the most part. There's a core book, you know, set of books that you get. I can just get you a box, a subscription box.
Pull
and I'm like,
box, yeah.
And I'm like, no. I don't want to need a pull box. I'm fine, I'm fine.
Too much,
I love
too much,
walking
too much.
The store. I love picking the things. So then
you could still do both.
Yes. So like month after month, I find myself grabbing the very last copy of Killadelphia.
Mm.
And I'm like, I am rolling the dice here. Stop playing games, Ambush. You know you want this book.
Especially because you're in a neighborhood of a city that already is geared towards loving comics.
Right.
Like, this isn't just some, like, weird pigeonholed nerd thing. Like, you're in Comic City, and you should...
Comic City, indeed.
Yeah. For reals.
So it was, after months of that, Donna finally confessed it to me. She was like, so I get your copy, and I put your copy on the
Donna,
show.
You're the greatest. I see you walking up the street, and I run and I set it on the shelf for you. You are the kindest human.
She's got little Charles Dickens in little children's with the Newsie caps on her.
Here's
she knows
comic.
He's on the way and run out and
here's
put it.
Here's your comic ambush.
She's like, you refuse to get a box, and you must walk the store. Then fine. And it's been rewarding getting a box now, because now there's just like some treats in there. Mm-hmm. And I was like, hey, I know you'd love this. And right every single time. There hasn't been a time.
Yeah.
There's been something in my box where it was like, oh, I don't know. It's like, nah, thank you. Keep it coming.
The sign of a great comic book shop of like, hey, we notice you buy these things all the time. Mm-hmm. Here's the suggestion. We know you'll love it. Because there's so much out there.
Yeah.
There's so much out there. Actually, this just dawned on me. So I have a copy of Uzumaki. Horror manga is wild. Mm. The illustrations are gorgeous. Mm. So I have a copy of that. I've read the first. It was a while ago. And then they did all three series in one hard book. So I was like, yes.
Nice.
Thinking back, so my dad was like a Batman comics guy. And nice. He had, I don't remember. I have it somewhere. He had this old Batman comic, had to have come out in like the early 90s, but it was very dark. Like it was a very dark kind of scary. Batman had a baby with some girl. I don't know. It was wild, but it was like
it wasn't Damien?
I don't think Damien's from that far back, man.
Yeah, you're right. I don't think Damien was that far back.
But it was like a very dark.
No, just Batman just had someone's baby. He's just walking around with someone's baby. It wasn't his.
Yeah, he actually just baby napped it. I'm so sorry.
All right.
It's a kidnapping story. No, I think he had like a child with this woman.
For
I don't
Gotham.
Know. Yeah, for Gotham. This is Dark Baby. I am baby.
Bat baby.
We're going to write this story. That was the first time I realized comics could be horror, because we grew up on horror. We're a Stephen King household.
Nice.
I didn't know you could have comic book. Like, I just thought comic books were superhero and like fun, save the world, like whatever. And that was like the first realization. And then, obviously, years later, decades later, when I worked at the Art Institute, they had the whole graphic novel set for The Walking Dead. Seeing that whole set, and I was like, damn, this is fucking cool.
Yeah,
the illustrations are spectacular. It's great. And then watching the show and compare, like, too good.
It, for me, it definitely started with just monster comics. Not really horror comics, just anything with monsters. And especially, like, you know, I mean, I really got into comics probably in the early 80s, the end of the Bronze era. And it was just, but then finding, like, old cheap back issues of all of the old 70s comics.
Yeah.
Anything like Werewolf by Night or Blade. And, like, because there was a big boom. Like, that's what I always say. If a comic has a 20-cent price tag on it, buy it. It's the best comic in the world.
Yeah.
Something about, like, from 72 to 75, the comics were amazing.
Mm. Yeah.
They were all Satanic Panic and they were going on. Yeah. And, like, it's because the whole, the comics code of the 50s had loosened finally. It had started to loosen.
Sure.
So now it could be a vampire as long as he's a living vampire and a doctor and like then there
was
werewolf,
like no zombies, right?
Couldn't be zombies, so they had Zembubu. Oh, as long as they spelled it differently, like you know, doctor, doctor.
Right. I don't remember what the comic,
Voodoo,
I don't remember what the code around that was. What
it was the original code was that they could portray classic literature characters: Dracula, vampire, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. As long as there was classic literature associated with it that had, you know, social value. They couldn't have it. No villains could ever win. Crime couldn't pay.
irony.
The undead. Right. The undead. You couldn't have the undead because that was the occult.
Sacrilege. Yeah.
And but then that kind of loosened up a little bit to where you could finally have vampires again, and then zombies and werewolves kind of came back. And, and it just ran wild in the 70s because also at that time, you know, you had the shock cinema packages in the 60s when the monster fad came out in the 60s because all the old 30s Universal films were now on local television markets.
Okay.
So it was just that extension of that. Each 10 years, it kind of a ripple effect from there.
It must have... It's funny, too, because, like, as an adult and, like, once I was in high school, kind of going back and, like, realizing that monsters and horror had been in comics a lot longer than I had known. I'm surprised, although then I'm like, oh, in the 70s. I'm like, why wasn't my dad paying attention to these comic books. He was a cop, so that's why.
Oh. He's like, real life is horror enough.
Yeah. That's enough.
The
no longer cool enough for comics.
I have one specific horror comic that's recent that I want to talk about. I don't remember the other questions if we have like
recent
stuff.
Yeah.
It's actually from Rodney Barnes and Jason Sean Alexander, who do Killadelphia. Anita Hawes Nightmare Blog is another one that they do that's a favorite one of mine.
Yes.
But Rodney Barnes has his own publishing company called Zombie Love Studios, and they put out, in fact, I got it here from Donna. She said, hey, have you heard about this? And I was like, no. And it was like a month before it even hit the shelves. Nice. And it was like January of last year, 2023, the beginning of the year. And it was his take working with, I can't remember if it's, I wish I knew this, but with the film company that owned the rights to Blackula. And he wrote a collected, it's a trade paperback. So it's like five comics in one, but that's how he put it out. There's no single floppy issues. It was just this volume one. And I read that thing, and I read it, and I read, and it's the same art from Killadelphia. It is astounding. Jason Sean Alexander. The two of them did this, and it breaks down the whole story. It takes the movie, everything from the movie, and brings it to now. He's been brought back to life again.
Oh, wow.
And now he's in modern day, either New York or Philadelphia. I can't remember which city he's in. But it is so amazingly written. When I stopped reading it the first time, I literally felt like in my core, Blackula was a slur, and I felt dirty thinking the word. Ooh. That's how good this book is. It is fantastic. I think I've read it five times since then. And that came out in February of last year, and I knew then that it would be the best comic I would read that whole damn calendar year, and it was.
Okay.
And it's on Zombie Love Studios, his Blackula book, and he's currently almost finished, I believe, with volume two that introduces werewolves.
Okay, all right.
And, so but they're not single floppies. They're a full, big, square-back trade. Okay. And they are fantastic.
I got to grab it.
And it's just from Zombie Love Studios that he puts out, and Jason Sean Alexander is the artist, and it is astonishing.
I hope everyone is writing these down. Watch list and purchase list, for sure.
Yeah.
That sounds great. Those are the ones that I think are... Those are always good stories of like bringing back something that you know from the past or something that like it was a story that I think at this point Blackula is like vague for a lot of folks and especially young people, and then but to bring it back in such a great way to like
I mean, I talked about it so much last year that I think my phone still knows automatically when I'm writing Prince Mamu, it goes Mamu Walde. Like, it's got his name worked out for me because I wrote it so many times. It's fantastic. I wouldn't shut up about it last year. Right. And I still recommend it because I can't wait for the second volume to come out.
Nice. Yeah. Do you know when the second volume is scheduled to come out?
I don't think that any date's been listed yet. Okay. I know that he's been super busy because the man writes nonstop. He had that Lakers show on HBO. I mean, he's crazy, crazy busy. Right. That guy is busy.
Right.
But that's his personal labor of love, having the Zombie Love Studios. And so it's his call. It's his shots. And when it's finished, it's fantastic.
Hey, thank you for reaching out to him, for tagging him on that Instagram post.
I'm telling you.
And he's like, sure, I'll do the interview.
Portland loves comics, and Portland has a solid scene that's into it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Man. All right. So, upcoming horror. Is there anything you're looking forward to? I saw, I think, a trailer and some other like promo stuff for The First Omen. And I'm like, okay, all right, count me in. That the most recent Exorcist film with the two little girls in it kind of fell flat for me.
Yeah.
I was like, when I first saw the trailer for it, I'm like, let's go. Let's do it.
No, I'm ready. We won't do it.
And they, yeah, right. They literally were like,
no.
I understand you're excited. We're caused not. That. Mm-hmm. It's okay.
We want to manage your expectations, right?
We're going to have to ask you to sit down now. yes.
Yeah, that was just like, I would have been upset. I would have been upset if like got people together, like, let's go see it. And then be in the theater and like, oh, sorry, guys. I owe you all pizza.
I did that actually with a group of friends for M. Night Shyamalan's The Village. They were so mad at me when they turned out to be a live-action Scooby-Doo episode.
Okay, guys, listen. Morgan's not here, so I don't need to stand this slander. I love The Village.
I hated it first, but it's grown on me since. Bad. I dig it now, but at the time, I was not happy. I was an upset Rudo.
I also love The Village. Yeah. I love The Village. But again, it's a quite...
Stop it, Rudo.
If only you could see. There will be video. You jerk. Shoot. She didn't know.
She didn't know, guys.
She had the yellow cloak on. Oh, my God. So much of it was really cheesy. I don't know. It was good. We didn't know. We didn't know. No one knew. But did you see the beach? Please, come on.
Okay.
Was
it called Old?
Old, sorry. Old? Yeah, Old. The Beach, sorry. The Beach is another movie, and that movie is fucking spectacular.
Okay.
Old is less.
The scene in the cave when she kept breaking, when her bones kept breaking.
Woo!
Listen, that was it.
Hot dogs.
Like, Rudo's like, I don't care for it.
It hurt me too many times.
I didn't like Old as much. That scene was wild. It had some moments in there, but...
What's a twist?
Yeah, what's the last thing you would expect? Cool, that's what we'll do.
Well, that's what we were going to do the whole time.
Hi, my name is M. Night Shyamalan, and I'll do the same shit every time. The first Omen you brought up. That is something I am super stoked to see. Yes. I'm also stoked to see Immaculate.
I don't think I saw a trailer for that.
With little baby Sydney Sweeney.
The words about that have been hot.
And I have heard that someone was like, okay, remember Barbenheimer? Whatever the cutesy name for the first Omen and Immaculate would be, go see those two back to back because they're very centered. They're female characters, births, whatever. And they're like, it's gnarly, but...
The reviews I've heard from Horror Talk, Immaculate is top shelf.
Looks really nice.
Intense.
And I wasn't sure, not to dog on little Sydney Sweeney, but I
was that's heavy religious too. Immaculate is crazy. Yeah. Like, what is it? An American nun goes, I think, to either France or Italy and is taken in a convent there. Yeah. And like bad ostracism and that's gnarly.
Yeah. Okay. It's wild. That what else did I there was something else. Blade.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah, hold on. Whenever pause. Blade.
And the whole conversation.
That's it. It'll come out eventually. You know. There's also Cuckoo, but Immaculate, I am.
Cuckoo, I've heard good. But Blade, I've actually been following, obviously, because anything Eric Brooks, I have a dumb amount of comics that are terrible, but have Blade on the cover of them. I have 1999's Gambit number 4 because Blade's on the cover for Gambit. Anyways, but that movie, the idea that Mahershala Ali is so in charge and has so much pull and juice that he gets to keep saying, nah.
That's great. Nah. That is
This is not right. Nah.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Everyone's like, oh, they're delaying it. I was like, good.
Yeah.
Good.
I don't know.
I'll wait.
Exactly.
It's...
He's going to nail it.
I'll watch Blade 2 again. I don't care. I'll wait.
Okay, we watched literally watched it the other day.
Yeah.
And then Trinity came on afterwards, and I was like, oh.
I'll go to sleep now.
So let's see what else is on.
I need to do some shopping at Home Depot.
Once the Pekingese and Triple H, it's like, okay, we're good.
Yeah. Blade was the last horror movie we watched, and then I had to go one back to talk to me. But, that I am super stoked for.
What do you got, Rudo? What are you stoked for?
I'm trying to think of what's...
anything peak... You're interested.
I don't know. I'm excited. I've actually just recently got pulled back into comics. I did a hard break. I had to break up two Octobers ago.
Okay.
I had just like unceremoniously got, it was a reduction in force of the job I was at, and they fired 15% of the whole company. So I was like, I'm spending $70 a week on comics. I need to not be doing that. Okay. Like, it was legit. Like, I had to break
it
up
happens.
With my comic shop.
And
Doug at Comic Cave was super gracious and nice and understood. And, like, there was even a fund that, like, for people who couldn't pay for their pull box. Anyways, it's Portland, man. It's Portland. The scene here is amazing.
That's awesome.
So I had to go cold turkey. I was like, I can't. I just can't. I can't. Stop.
Because you'll find a way.
Oh. So recently in the last month, I've like kind of been dipping my toe again. And then like, oh, there's a big crossover called Blood Hunt. I'm like, that sounds vampires and it's Marvel. Oh, crap. I was like, so it's a summer where Blade's in every single book all for 3 months? Ah, jeez. So as far as horror movies coming up, I know. Oh, man. Fredo. I don't know. I mean, obviously, like, the simple stuff, like, I'm really curious. I raised my daughter on Beetlejuice and the Beetlejuice cartoons and Jim Henson's Brown phase of Labyrinth and Dark Crystal and stuff, so I'm excited to see what they're going to do with Beetlejuice. Same. I hope that's good.
I mean,
it's, you know, it's V. Neil and it's everybody that's involved from the first one.
Except for the dad.
Right, of course.
Right.
He's dead.
With the new stuff, I don't know, man. It's so weird because I only find out about stuff, like I said, on Horror Talk after stuff that's already released.
Gotcha.
I can't think of anything that's coming to theaters that I'm excited to see.
I mean, yeah. Beetlejuice definitely counts. We just saw it on at the Keller.
Tuesday. Saw Logan's Post. How was that? Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. It's one of those, it was a musical, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, which I'm totally fine. I mean, I know what I'm going
to see. Did you get the Bobert seats?
I did not.
These seats come with a Bobert.
I was on the
aisle,
though.
They're like plastic covered. I love Beetlejuice. I love it. Yeah. I'm stoked for Beetlejuice. Also, perfect naming.
Yeah.
And I love musicals and I love theater. And I was nervous. I was like, I don't know if I could see this because I'm afraid it would just do it dirty. And I couldn't spoil.
It was a huge departure, which I was kind of prepared for because this is what happens at Broadway. It's someone else's vision. That's fine. But then there were just some of the classic characters and the way they were executed. And I'm just like,
well, see, this has happened to me in my life is that it's like there's got to be a point to where I just go, it's not for you, man.
Yeah.
Right. Like I'll walk around and I'll say that in the House of Harper because my daughter, she loves Heathers, but she knows the Heathers like musical.
Right.
Word for word.
Oh,
wow. She just moved down to Eugene. She's going to be she's 19. She turned 19 in February and she was raised on all that stuff. I brought her up on all that, like, you know. And man, like that's her thing, and that's just you know, for me, man.
We're
and
old.
I get it; I totally dig on that.
Same,
So I could see how that would be often different. I mean, it's not like dragging her to Evil Dead the musical.
I mean, I'll put it to you like this: Morgan and I were the only people it felt like in the Keller that didn't enjoy it.
Huh.
So yeah, like they were loving it.
Yeah,
it was. And we're like gangbusters. So I'm like, all right, this rendition just wasn't for me.
Right.
It was a little, I know it's a musical. I know where I'm at. Mm-hmm. But it was like, it was whimsical to the point that it just changed the whole feel of, of the project.
Like
for
they
me.
Didn't do a Sweeney Todd to it? Like,
right.
Because I would have expected a Sweeney Todd touch to it. Where it's kind of, it's still like cheeky and catchy and like Sondheim. So like you get it. But
yeah.
It's still dark. It's still...
Twist not dark.
Hmm. No.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking Beetlejuice here.
They leaned heavily into the neon green.
Was Miss Argentina there?
Yes. So, and that was the other thing, too. They you know, did so much with the order of the film, too.
Yeah.
Which served the way they were telling the story. But I'm expecting to see certain characters, you know, in the first half. And I'm like, when I didn't see Juno or anyone from the waiting room within the first half of the film,
play. Coach, I don't think we made it.
Right, yo! I was like, you cannot give me Beetlejuice without these characters.
Right.
Yeah, you need the case where they
showed up afterwards. They showed up afterwards, and it was cool. It was cool. Yeah.
As a side note, me still Beetlejuice related, as an idiot, how old was I when Beetlejuice, the first one came out? I don't know. I was a teenager. Uh-huh. Didn't really recognize this at the time, but after the trailer came out for the second one, talking with my cousin Dan, and he was like, oh yeah, he's like, how long did it take you to realize that when you commit suicide you end up working as a civil servant or basically a DMV in hell? And I was like, oh shit, right? I was like, how did I never put those two things together? And I was like, god damn,
so good.
That's what you get. I don't know. I was like, that's hilarious. And I never.
That's the lesson learned.
I had never quite put. I just flew right over my head.
As a crew that thirsts for horror the way we get it, way we do, what are some of the things that you feel like are missing from the genre or things that you'd like to see more of?
I always want to see more supernatural and monster westerns.
I've
dug them up. I've watched them all. I love them.
Do you have a favorite?
There's actually one. Well, it's a really weird one. I don't know if it's my favorite, but one that I love recommending is there's one called Gallows Walkers, and it stars Wesley Snipes. Yeah. Yeah, and it's really fun, and it's like super bright, and it's in the hot sun, and there's vampires, and how they have to live and hide, but it's a western. But monster and supernatural horror westerns are definitely mine. My favorite one that Harper loves is Ravenous, is one of my all-time favorite movies.
God, I forgot about
which is the cannibal movie, Guy Pearce, and Guy Pearce
and friends.
Carl Robert Carlyle.
Okay.
Anyways, but yeah, anything supernatural westerns, horror westerns, I love a ton.
That's a good combo.
I dig that. A
okay.
Because it's not saturated, it's not overdone, yeah. And but it's a crapshoot. Like if you're going on Tubi or you're like making lists and you're going on all the streaming services we have access to today, you will find some stuff. And there are some great gems and there's some crap, total dog turds out there.
Okay.
But at least then I saw it and I gave it a shot. You know, because it's every time it's going to be different.
Right.
It's not like another slasher at a camp movie, you know.
Right.
And it is also something that a low budget can pull off. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, as long as you're not building a whole, like, old-timey Western town.
Yeah, you're good.
If you're just, like, in a house or something like that, yeah. You know.
Right.
So those can be really great or just meh. But, yeah, Western supernatural horrors is what I dig.
Okay.
What about you?
Things I love to see and I would like to continue to see more. This is kind of two sides of the same coin. Female main leads, specifically females, yes. That are not damsels.
Yeah.
So I think of Barbarian. Oh, when she walks in. Now, first off, I was yelling at her, which I also love. That's a good sign of a good movie, is when you're just like, no, leave. But she was like, no, I got this, whatever. I do this. Like, no damsels. But then also, I think I brought this up in the last episode with The Conjuring, mm-hmm. of like, can't women just be evil? Men have been evil for a very long time. Men have just like, because of no reason, someone stole their candy bar when they were a kid, so now they're on a murdering spree. Can we not do that too?
Right. You guys get your murder spree on.
Yeah. That's a big deal. I don't know. Like, why do I have to? And not tie it to some, like, child, not other than, I guess, childhood trauma of losing a candy bar, but, like, not tie it to she was assaulted as a child. Like, it's always tied to very horrendous trauma. That I'm like, do we need to? Things I would love to see more of is some more practical effects.
Okay.
Yeah, mix it in with some CGI. Because there's a lot of stuff that leans real heavy on CGI. Yeah. And I think to go back to, like, Western, like, find an old ghost town. But, like, have, like, practical.
But
very,
even
like,
those
tactical.
Movies can have the terrible powdery-looking CGI blood.
Yeah. Like,
DC Comics came out with a full line of the Conjuring horror comics.
Yes. Oh, yeah. They were
fantastic.
Yeah,
I
did grab really a couple of those. Yeah.
They're great.
Yeah.
How about you, sir?
Definitely stories told from a woman's perspective, mm-hmm. from the feminist perspective, for sure. What was that? That last Candyman film.
Oh.
Is that Sasha? Who's Green? Sasha Green?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you think she also directed that series on HBO? Why is the name escaping me?
Not them. No.
No.
With
John.
The House of Usher?
Uh-uh. Oh, man, that was so good. That was so good. Yeah. No. Lovecraft Country.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, we were hooked.
So
I love
good.
Lovecraft. So going back to kind of like, I love sci-fi. Misha I love Green. Like weird Misha Green. Thank you. I love like psychological, but like monster. I don't know. I do love it all.
It was all combined in that. It was all the way combined in that. So good. So more stories told from that perspective, definitely. And then yes, female protagonists.
Yeah.
Like absolutely, and also just being the villain. Like, give me more of that. Like,
I don't know.
Barbarian was. It was both.
It was.
Barbarian was something else.
I loved it.
Recently rewatched Cobweb with Morgan because she hadn't seen it yet.
That's on my list.
Cobweb is
that movie was recommended to me and it was great because it was like if you want to feel Halloween-y, like it's that movie itself feels like autumn and I haven't seen it yet, but everyone's like it was like must have been during the blitz of Christmas. It was like, do you miss Halloween or whatever? And it was like or for summer watches. It was a summer horror movie. It was like if you want to hurry up. It puts you in that the atmosphere is there on the movie, so I got to see that.
Yeah, Cobweb was really good. Okay. Really, I was anxious to watch it again with Morgan. Also, The Pope's Exorcist was another one I was anxious to watch again.
I watched that because of you, and that was fun. And I was always curious about the Spanish Inquisition.
Russell Crowe's talking about making that a trilogy. He's got two more movies. He's getting
we
getting
need
worked
that.
On. Yeah.
Yes.
He can workshop his accent a little, but...
For sure.
But I loved it. Steve and I watched it, actually, after you had recommended it, and I was like, damn, like, this is fun.
Yes.
It's wild. It's fun. I don't know.
Yeah, that historical twist, like that's a great example of what I'm talking about. Because when it happened, my mouth hit the floor like, what?
Yeah.
Position, like, what?
No one expects it.
Yeah.
Oh, so good. So good.
History.
Okay, so a couple more questions. Worst horror film you've watched?
This is more of a genre. I don't have a specific one, and this is something that I specifically do. When I am working on the zine, if I'm not playing music, if I'm not like having something, it's something I like to have on in the background, and it usually works out to be terrible, is if you go to somewhere like Tubi or any free streaming movie service, and you try and find the most terrible and most unwatched Bigfoot movie?
What?
Oh, there is a billion of them. The Bigfoot movies, just random, like homemade, big, like small budget. Yes, they are fantastic to have on in the background when you don't need to watch or pay attention. They are different levels of terrible and amazing. So I've been caught a couple times, like, wait, whoa, this is good. Hold on, stop. And I turn it off and wait again. There is a movie, I believe it came out in, I think it was 2017, 2018, called Willow Creek.
Okay.
And it is a found footage, kind of Blair Witchy, but it's in Willow Creek, which is Northern California, where the Patterson-Gimli footage was taken in the 60s. Directed by this unknown director named Bobcat Goldthwait. And I shit you not, it is the best Bigfoot movie I've ever seen.
Are you kidding me?
Yes, Willow Creek Willow is Creek. What it's called.
Okay.
But outside of that, if you just put on and just search Bigfoot and put that in there, ooh-wee, the stink-a-rooney that comes off of that skunk ape is amazing. And there is an endless supply of them. They has droppings everywhere that you can go find in the forest. So I don't have one specific, but that is my go-to garbage bag. And I like that energy coming off the TV when I'm just writing stuff and cutting and pasting and putting together stuff. That just fuels the silly and the dumb, which I always aim for in the zine. So that's my go-to.
That's hilarious.
I would have never... I shouldn't doubt anyone. But yeah, I would have not thought Bigfoot horror.
No, same.
Wild new places. I have a specific one. And this, I was saying earlier, was a hard, because I have a very high tolerance for really shitty films. Things I don't watch, rom-coms. Things I'm not a huge fan of. If someone's like, oh, what do you want to watch? It's not a rom-com and it's probably not a comedy, unless maybe it's like an old school Jim Carrey.
Okay.
So
you've never seen The Other Guys, is what you're telling me.
Correct.
Okay.
But like, those are just things I don't go to. But so like, I'll watch every horror, if it's a movie, if it's out, if it's a horror movie, it's streaming, I'm like, this feels interesting, I'll watch it. And I have a pretty good tolerance. I think I'd mentioned Vivarium, which I didn't like, but I wouldn't say it's my least favorite or I hated it. It was just, I think the pacing was off.
Definitely the pacing.
The one film that like, I saw it in the theaters, everyone walked out of that theater, and like half of the theater was like, we should have fucking walked out, was the early 2000s remake of The Hills Have Eyes.
I haven't seen it.
No, yeah, I didn't do that
either.
There's just, and again, I go to sleep watching like murder docs or horror movies. Like, that's just, I'm like, oh, I need to hear how someone like disembodied this person and put them in a fucking vat of acid.
Right.
Snoozy time. pretty it's high tolerance.
I don't know what it is. It's something about you just calming. Nestle
I
up.
I'm like, oh, I feel cozy. Yay. That movie has a scene.
Dear Ed Kemper, I thought you were great. The way you bound,
the love
tortured,
of your
and killed.
Mother. Yeah. Mama's boy. There's a scene in there that is like two lines across the line. I don't know. It went a little for, so for people that have seen it that are like, this movie made me feel uncomfortable, it's the same scene for everyone.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
It's just one. And the original, also horrific and terrifying.
Sure. Absolutely.
Great. Good story.
Okay.
If you've ever driven through that part of Nevada, it's scary as fuck.
Okay.
It's a whole lot of nothing in there. It's not awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. But, All right. Yeah. Now I want to see it. We got to check it out.
Don't watch it with Morgan.
Okay,
don't do that to him. Okay. No.
Don't stress her out.
Yeah. Fucked up.
There was a film we started together that is like the worst horror film I've seen. And This was during the time period when she was still tolerating me putting on horrors to go to bed.
Love her.
And then it was like maybe the third or fourth night. She's like, again? You're not done with this yet? And I'm like, I gotta see how it ends, though. I know this is bad, but I have to see how it ends.
The void. I with Harper, I try and go, but it's October. Void. She goes, it's August. Not gonna
It's October. October.
She's actually a great sport. What was your film?
Yeah, the it was void. The Void. The Void. The Void.
The Void.
I did. Listen, so, and I said to
Wait
Megan,
a minute.
Listen, I said to Megan earlier, I said, I know people are going to be like, what are you talking about? Because there's so much, there's so many.
I just need to check that we're talking about the same movie here.
There's so much it's tribute like being done in this film.
Assault on Precinct, like that's on, wait, what? Oh, hold on.
So, The Void, it's got Lovecraftian horror in it. And they're stuck like in that police precinct.
Yeah, and the people outside with the
I'm like, what is happening here? What is happening? I did not enjoy that.
I guess
film.
Some of us just don't get it.
Yeah. No, and
clearly,
that's, yeah,
it was hitting above your pay grade.
And I think it was. When I watched all the reviews for it, everyone's pulling out, and this was a tribute to that, and this, and it was oh, cool. Cool. So it's the MCU. I needed to see all these other films
to enjoy
The Void. Cool.
There definitely should be a subgenre of horror movies that, like, there should be a sticker, like, at the video rental store, made by nerds for nerds.
Right.
There should be a sticker that lets you know what you're about to get.
Come on, bro.
I feel like there's also now this line of horror. There's The Void. The Mist, The Happening,
Yes,
the somethings that all they're very different stories, but all have that very vague something ominous, a presence.
Yeah.
We're not defining it. Tentacles monsters.
Was it the Black Coat's daughter?
Yeah. That all. The Black Coat's daughter? But like those ones that just have this like vague. Mm-hmm. I do remember watching The Void, and it just was like, I don't know, didn't hit me. But now watch The Hills Have Eyes and be like, oh nope, bumped up, bumped up one, Redemption.
Rudo was very upset with
me. I'm gonna watch it and just take pictures of myself watching it and send it to the news with my fiance Instagram.
Yeah, you'll get it. I don't know, but it wasn't.
Oh, I saw it. I loved it. Okay. Dug it. I dug it a lot. I liked it.
Yeah, it just I see where you're coming from. It just was a little all right.
So we're gonna close out with recommendations. I'm gonna jump right to the front of this list. I just recently finished The Outsider on HBO.
So good.
I mean, what was it? I think it's 10 episodes, 8 or 10 episodes.
Yeah.
Morgan was like, this is your show. You're going to watch this show. And I'm a completist in the way that I got these other series. I got to finish these out and we'll start some things together. She's like, you want to start this now. And I'm like, all right, okay. First episode, I said, holy shit, I need more of this now. Let's go. And we just binged through it 2-3 days. Stephen King's The Outsider. Absolutely amazing.
So good.
Like, so very good. And then, of course, Night Country. Night Country.
Oh, thank you for saying that. How did I forget that I watched that?
Night Country's just so good. It made me want to go back and watch the first season of True Detective.
Same.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we watched Night Country, and imagine the hate that they got. I didn't understand it. I was like, come on, man, don't make me roll a slow orange at you, fool.
Right. Come don't let it happen to you. Don't let it happen to you.
Don't make me leave your tongue in some uncharted science.
Harper and I were actually, because we were so hard up for new episodes of Night Country, we started watching season one, and we're watching them back and forth. Especially once you found out that Cole's dad. Anyways, I'm getting way too.
So that is so dope.
Night Country was the first True Detective season that Steve had watched. And so he didn't know what to expect. And I was like, this is actually a very good place to start.
Yeah.
So we need to go back and watch the first season, which is, thank you for that reminder, because
that first
amidst
season
us watching The X-Files, that first season was
It just had us wanting more. Yeah. It kept bringing me back. So second season... that was the one with Vince Vaughn.
Vaughn?
Yeah.
I was like, okay. Right. Yeah. And then the third season, I hadn't finished.
Yeah.
And when I started seeing trailers for Night Country, it felt like, okay, now we're back to form. Yeah. Immediately, I'm like, oh, okay, we're back.
Yeah.
And then once you started seeing the references to Carcosa, I was like, okay, okay, all right, you got me.
Right,
you got me.
It's exactly. Okay. Yeah.
Okay, come on in, friends.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So any recommendations?
Those were two great. Also, yes. The Outsider, I fucking loved. For anyone that has a really fucked up sense of humor like myself, The Baby on HBO.
The Baby. Why do I think I've seen the trailer for this? Have you seen The Baby?
It's great. Children are terrifying.
Okay.
Oh. It's funny. It's wild.
It's a movie or a series?
It's a series.
Okay.
Yeah, fully bingeable. Okay. It's a wild ride. I only know one other person in this town, shout out to Kempo, that has watched it and thought it was great.
Okay.
It's very funny.
Okay.
It's just very funny. And for the youth out there.
The youths.
The two youths. Any old, Rosemary's Baby.
Mm.
I watch Rosemary's Baby and Jaws often.
Okay.
Probably every, three times a month.
Okay.
Are always my favorite. But I think there's a lot of young kids that haven't watched those.
Yeah.
Shows, yeah, we watched Night Country, and I'm trying to think, show-wise, it's, I don't know, it's weird because I feel like, obviously, Fall of the House of Usher was fantastic. God, that was
so
really good. Dug on that a ton.
Hooked from the first episode.
Yeah, I mean, it was really good. I loved that a lot because I, was one of those super nerds that studied way too much Poe and then put it away in the back of my head.
Yeah.
And then it was amazing how much, kept bubbling to the top every episode. I was like, oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously the top three that I have to say that I would recommend to anyone is people don't talk about Hot Fuzz enough. People don't talk about The Burbs enough.
Oh,
the Burbs
excellent.
Is amazing.
I will touch back on another one of my favorite movies is Ravenous. The music for Ravenous will make you think that someone else is watching a different movie in the house from the movie you're watching.
Wow.
It is so off kilter and doesn't match. But when I saw that in the theater, I was living in Vegas at the time. It was 99. And I remember they had a sign out front, from a home printer. It said, the movie Ravenous deals with cannibalism. And I said, wow, why'd you guys put that out there? Because we've had so many walkouts. People are walking out of this movie.
Hot dog.
And I was like, what? I was like, I'll take two tickets, please.
Yes, I'd like to see it twice. Another good movie to watch, speaking of cannibals, is Bones and All.
Bones and All, I have not seen
that.
Yeah,
with little baby Timmy Chalamet.
Okay.
Yes,
okay.
Right.
Bones and All.
Bones
and
All.
Oh, that's the finger biting movie? Did they have a finger? I'm remembering trailers now.
There was
looks like it was nibbling on like kissy, lovey, huggy, nibbling on fingernails, and then it was like, ooh. Yeah.
All right, I'm in.
I think that is actually a different cannibal movie. That has a young girl. But that also, I saw the trailer for that the other day, and it looks good, and the name is completely escaping me.
Great cannibal Western, Bone Tomahawk.
Oh, Christ, that
Kurt
movie is amazing.
Russell. I bought that soundtrack on LP at Too Many Records on I think Lumbar.
Okay,
it's
I'm
fantastic.
Loving this.
Bone
this
Tomahawk is fantastic.
Full of recommendations.
Yeah. Bone
this
Tomahawk
is, awesome.
Is wonderful.
You mentioned Poe.
That's a gnarly movie.
Yeah, it is.
You mentioned Poe. Mm-hmm. The Pale Blue Eye. You guys see it?
Good.
I'm having
a lot
of visceral reactions.
I watched that movie, and it was a movie where I almost went and woke Harper. I was like, can you come out while I'll start it over? I'll watch it again.
I'll watch it over.
Oh, that movie's fantastic.
Yes.
Oh, because there's another movie happening that you didn't know about until the end of the movie.
Right.
There's a second movie
Wait, this is what's it is?
Yeah,
Christian Bale killed it. The whole cast.
And the kid is Dudley. It's the heavy, it's Harry Potter's heavy stepbrother.
Cousin. Yeah,
that plays Edgar Allan Poe. It's fantastic. He is wonderful in it.
And he looks amazing.
Yes, there's another movie that came out that is, now I'm on a roll. It's a movie called, it was The Devil the Whole Time.
Oh, and it's, that's a great.
It is so mean-spirited and not happy, but it is damn good. Yeah, it's
Robert Pattinson.
There's so many. Robert Pattinson is the gross preacher in it.
Andrew
Garfield's in it.
Okay,
it's is he the Spider-Man kid? Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's Spider-Man. All these amazing, British young actors playing like Kickahobo, Tennessee. I don't know what the name of the town is, but it's something like that. But it is like post, it like goes from World War II and goes all the way up into like almost Vietnam. It is depressing, but man, it is passionate. It is driven. It is astounding.
And what's the name of it again?
It was The Devil the Whole Time.
It was The Devil the Whole Time. Okay.
Yeah, or The Devil All the Time.
Or The Devil All the Time, something like that.
Oh, wait a minute.
It was fantastic.
This sounds familiar. Morgan watched it. I caught pieces of it and was like, oh my dear God.
Yeah.
Watch, it's.
I cook it, so I got to watch the whole thing. Okay. Yeah.
Oh. Talk about a redemption arc, mm-hmm. little Robert Pattinson. Yeah. Mm. Nobody even knows he was ever a vampire.
He's such a great Batman.
He was a good Batman.
Man, this was absolutely amazing. Thank you guys so much for spending your When's Thursday evening with us.
Thanks for
exactly,
having me.
Exactly.
Absolutely. We just scratched the surface. I had a list.
I love revisiting horror throughout the year at mm-hmm. times when it isn't traditionally discussed. So right. like
Which we again did, for me is weekly.
Right. Yeah. Right.
During like the heat domes we have now, put on a double feature of
the
Carpenter's The Thing and 30 yes. Days of Night, and you're like, 30 days you're good of to night. Go.
Let's go. Yeah. Let's go.
No
if
God.
You're thinking of going like rock or mountain climbing, watch The Crawling Eye.
Or
the Trollenberg Terror?
I don't know that one.
No, the Crawling Eye. Okay. Also, if Mystery Science Theater 3000, it's nice. the first episode of Mystery Science Theater, they watch The Crawling Eye.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Practical effect. It's horrific. It's dull. It's slow. it's very.
The lost skeleton of Kadavra.
Yeah, yeah. It's very, okay. I made Steve watch it like around Christmas, and he was just like. Whatever. I love that movie. My dad, growing up, had us convinced that when the fog rolls in off the hills, the crawling eyes were going to come get you, and I had no idea what that was from.
That's from science.
That's facts of science.
Climate change is real.
But it's a wild movie.
Okay. All right. I feel like you had something. Okay. All
right. Oh, no, no. I was going to comment. I just thought of another movie that really let me down was It's a Wonderful Knife. I love Christmas horror
that
movies.
That looked like it was going to be great.
It was the only movie that narrated itself in case you couldn't follow along. Oh. It's like characters would stop the action to tell you what's happening. Like, bro, I've been here. I've been watching it.
Wow.
the Ghoul Fiend review for that movie in our zine was, it's a movie.
Yeah.
Wow.
It got me.
Yeah.
You know what surprised me? Goosebumps.
That show was good until they didn't know when to stop. Yeah. They should have just been done with it.
Yeah.
Like the last two episodes weren't
we
needed.
Yeah.
Hey, that's what I want to start. I want to have It's a Long Summer or It's a Long Winter and just like do a month of just all the great Justin Long movies.
Yeah.
He's one of my favorite scream queens. Man. He's fantastic.
Come on.
Yeah. It's a long dark winter. It was good. It was. And remember, at that time, there was like five horror television miniseries that came out all at once.
Yeah.
There was that one. There was House of Usher. There was like four of them. I think the new Tales from the Crypt. What's the Shudder one? Creep Show. The new Creep Show season had come out, which was hit or miss. It was good. The first season was fantastic. But that Goosebumps was like, whoa, wait, this is way better than it should have been.
Way better.
It was really
way
good.
Because I was too old to enjoy, you know, Goosebumps on Nickelodeon or whatever it was on. Yeah, but then let me give this a try. Justin Long's in it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was good.
Surprisingly. Yeah. Really good. Really good.
Yeah. When you think the show should end and you see there's still two more episodes, the show should end and be done with it.
When
you're
it feels
good.
They should have wrapped it.
You're good.
They should have wrapped
it. Noted.
Oh, man. Thank you guys so much. Thank you guys for tuning in, and we'll catch you on the next episode.
Thank you so much.
Watch some horror movies.
Hey, you're still here. That's what's up. Thanks for listening. We really appreciate every single listen we get. Be sure to subscribe and follow us on all social media. You can listen to us on the platform of your choice. We are there. And if you're so inclined, please rate the show and write a review. We appreciate all types of feedback from any of our listeners. All right, catch you on the next one. Peace.